Hey, everybody, this is Dan Gilbazan, voice of G1 Bumblebee, and you're listening to All Things Transformers.
Transformers, more than meets the eye.
This is a message from Optimus Prime. Stay away from my cookie.
Or they'll eat you.
Are they made from real Girl Scouts?
Only on Sunday.
Wow. Hello and welcome to All Things Transformers, episode 35. I am joined with the two cohorts of the entire Transformers franchise on Geekcast Radio. Introduce yourselves, guys.
Yes, TF2 and Mike.
And Pecan Court Michael. Hey, how's it going?
It's going. We haven't recorded together, the three of us, for God, close to 2 years, and we fall right back into the same old things.
It's like we never stopped.
Yeah, exactly.
Like riding a bike.
Our discussion for the remaining episodes of All Things Transformers, I don't remember if we mentioned it last episode, but here's a refresher anyhow. We're going to talk about every incarnation of Transformers from beginning to end as the show goes on, rounding out the podcast at episode 50, where we will officially retire it, unless at some point we all decide to jump back into the saddle again. So this episode, we will be jumping into Transformers Generation 1, the one that started it all.
Yep. And just to clarify for everybody, the U.S. stuff. We're not jumping into the Japanese stuff. No, I had this idea. You know, Steve was like, oh, I don't know if I should kill ATTF. I don't know what I should do with it. Because, I mean, honestly, we're not really doing a lot of Transformers coverage right now. Yes, this is the year of the 30th anniversary, but lately, Prime ended, which I know Michael's probably happy about.
I'd say that.
Prime ended. Rescue Bots was on a extended hiatus after the first season ended. And Dark of the Moon was, what, 3-4 years ago at this point?
2011?
Yeah, 2011. Huh? So three years ago. And there really hasn't been a lot of major, oh my God, news. I'm out of the toy stuff altogether. I have zero interest in it. I've kind of gotten more into the comics. And with the pull bag starting up last year... Mm. That's kind of where I've been, when we do Transformers episodes, that's kind of where I've been doing all the Transformers comic news and stuff. I mean, we've still brought it up on ATTF, but I was trying to figure out, okay, this is the 30th anniversary. How can we do this? How can we give the podcast a proper send-off and still make it fun for us? And I figure, oh, let's do everything.
What do you mean everything?
Everything! Out of the gutter.
Gutter?
I don't think he was in the gutter. Not this time. No.
That's where you usually sleep,
no,
so...
it was like classic Gary Oldman quote there. Come on, man.
Oh, yeah.
So, this not only being the 30 years of Transformers, it's also the 6 years of All Things Transformers, which is 1 year more than the Geekcast Radio Network.
Yep. Yep. Because ATTF and TFG1 started a couple of years before. Well, G1 started in a year before the network. And so, yeah, it's kind of interesting to see it all go out in sixes.
We go way back.
Yeah.
Oh, 666.
Yes. It's a six shot of a good time.
This is bad sodomy.
And my improv has improved.
Yes, yes it has.
It took 4 years, but...
God. So, as Steve said, we're here to talk about Generation 1. Steve, when did you first, since you're the youngest of the three of us... how long did it take you to catch on to G1? Because obviously you were still growing up as it ended.
Funny thing about it is, I actually learned about it in about, I want to say 1994 or 95.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wow. I caught it as reruns on the Sci-Fi Channel. Back when they actually, back when they had their animation mornings on like Saturday and Sunday, and then on the weekdays, back in the day when they were actually good. I used to catch Transformers Generation 1. I think it started out with Season 3, and then it would kind of jump around between Season 1 and 2. So Season 3 has more of a spot for me. As far as recognition-wise. But I liked the characters better earlier on. But that was when I first got my glimpse into the Transformers world, and then... 96 and 97 is when I hit it full force.
So your first Prime was Rodimus.
Actually, no. The first one the first episode I saw was The Rebirth.
Oh, well, that had to be creepy.
Or not the
Rebirth. There's a zombie? What?
Where Optimus Prime... Or no, The Return of Optimus Prime. That's what it was.
Return of Optimus.
That's I get my episode titles wrong, but I had the ultimate leader come back.
Yes. Yes.
Awesome. Okay. That's kind of good.
Yeah. What about you for you, Michael? Because by 84, you were pretty old.
I was a late bloomer. So even when I was, 11 or so, I was still playing with Transformers. I would have been 11 in 84. But, I remember I was in what was it, sixth grade or so, and my friends and I were arguing over, there's going to be a combiner team made out of jets, and they're all going to be the same as Starscream. So it's going to be like these great big Starscream guys that combine together. And it's like, no, it couldn't possibly be guys as big as Starscream, because the last combiner was all little guys. They were tiny. I had the Constructicons. I knew how small they were. They were tiny. But so we're going back and forth with my friends. We were late bloomers. That's a terrible way to put it, but, and I hate that term, but yeah, that's about what it was.
For me, it was so weird because I would catch episodes out of order. I was 4 when it started. By the time I was 6 and 7, when it got close to ending, when a cartoon ended, it didn't really resonate with me. It was just like, oh, it's not on anymore, I guess, but they still showed all the old episodes, even though they weren't making any new ones. And for me, I had, favorite characters. I liked Jazz, I liked Astro Train, I liked, Prowl. In certain moments. And I liked Optimus. He's not the most competent leader, but he was really good. He was a good leader.
What?
He's not he makes some really, really bad mistakes in this series. But anyway. And I like Soundwave and Blaster and the cassettes and all that stuff. I was never really a Starscream fan.
Wow.
I always liked Skywarp more. Skywarp was cool.
Skywarp had like two lines in the whole series. They didn't talk.
Who cares? He could teleport.
If
who cares?
He was the right color. You know, even then, he didn't have much in the way of lines.
Oh, man. But I remember watching episodes here and there and here and there. And my mom let me watch anything and everything, so it's kind of a shock. And I don't know why. My aunt, when I used to go over to my cousin's house, I would try to watch it if I was over there at the time that it was on. And she's like, "You're not watching that. It's too violent. It's too this. They said ass. They never said ass
they
in
never
that
said
show.
Ass? No.
They never said ass in G1.
Spike said shit once.
Yeah, shit.
In the
damn,
film.
In hell. In the film.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And that's the other thing. I never saw it in... For me, as a kid, going to the video store was the most magical thing ever. Because I would find all these video cassettes of Transformers, of Thundercats, of He-Man, or whatever else. And it was like, ooh, I haven't seen this yet. Or, ooh, I haven't seen this yet. And I remember it had to have been 87, mid to late 87 maybe. I don't remember exactly the date, but I know I never saw Transformers the movie in theaters.
Right.
I wish I had, but I never did.
See, I didn't either. But
I've seen it at TFCon.
Well, I saw it at BotCon when they re-released it.
Yeah.
And that was awesome to actually watch it in a theater full of other Transformer fans.
Yeah.
That is great. But it came on television. They chopped it up into a couple different episodes, and that's how I saw it. So when I saw the movie, I mean, and you know, they edited it for television, but when I actually saw the movie uncut as an entire
thing.
I'm trying to remember. They're called DVDs now, and they were called VHS.
VHS is back then. Yes.
This is terrible. When I watched it as a VHS, I was like, I've seen this. I've already seen this. And again, it was edited, so it wasn't quite the same. But yeah, I mean, the plot was all there.
Yeah, see, I never knew that it was edited for television.
Mm.
I never knew. Like, I knew that was the case over in He-Man and She-Ra for their film Secret of the Sword. I knew that was the case. They edited the 5 episodes into a film.
Yeah.
But I never knew that Transformers the movie was edited for television to show as 5 parts. That, wow. I'm so glad I never saw it that way. But
I mean, it was on like every day for a week. So, and I was going to come home from school and sit down and watch Transformers and G.I. Joe anyway.
Yeah. So yeah, the movie came out and myself and probably the rest of the world cried like babies when they killed Optimus. And back then, I don't care what anyone says today, back then it didn't matter that Hasbro was getting rid of the line to make room for new stuff. That didn't matter to me. What mattered to me was the damn stories that the show was and the movie was telling.
Mm.
You know, people today criticize the movie for, oh, well, it's just Hasbro making room for its new toys. You can't criticize the movie just for that.
Yeah. I mean, I criticize the movies for many different reasons than that.
Yes, but I'm just saying that...
We've had that discussion several times.
Yes, we have. Yes, we have. What else about G1 did you guys enjoy? I mean, obviously the toys. I mean,
mostly it's the toys. I never read the comic books.
No.
But every day I would come home and watch the cartoon. You know, even if it was reruns. Mostly the first couple of years. Once it started getting into third season, I didn't watch it as much because I just didn't like Rodimus as a leader. By the time they brought Optimus Prime back, I was kind of fading out a little bit. Like, I don't think I'm following these anymore. And I realize there's a lot of fans there who got into it in that, was it 87, 88 time period where, you know, they actually saw Rebirth on television and really liked Headmasters, Target Masters, that type of thing. And
Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot of people who were at that age, and that was their introduction to the series. And you know, as far as I was concerned, it was like, man, these guys are cheap. I mean, the plastic is crappy and the articulation just isn't there. I mean,
they're just big blocks.
Yeah, you complain about, some of the earlier guys being a brick, but man, those headmasters, they had no articulation. And the only articulation they had was lent directly from their transformation. It's just they just weren't very good toys. And from the cartoon, you really didn't get enough characterization for any one of them to really enjoy them as a character either.
Well, and you switch from like 80-90% die-cast to 100% plastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Which didn't help matters.
I mean, at that point, I was breaking away. I was still kind of aggravated that the aerial bots weren't the size of Starscream. that really bothered me.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. I don't care. Yeah, they're so cool.
You know what the really sad thing is? It took 30 years for me to realize that Rob Paulsen is Slingshot. Or Air Raid. He's a couple of the aerial. He's the voice of a couple of the aerial bots. Oh man, looking here, I remember, and I don't know. I believe this happened in G2, and we'll talk about that next time. But I remember Power Master Optimus. Was that G1 or G2?
That was G1.
Toward the end of G1, yeah.
But
Was that the season 5 when they only showed 20 episodes?
Season 5 doesn't actually exist. They went into Headmasters.
Yeah.
Headmasters
was season 4, but that was like 4 episodes.
Technically, our Rebirth series is different from the actual Rebirth series, if that makes any sense.
Unless we're talking about like what came out in Japan.
Because
Japan did get a season 4.
Right. No. I'm talking about with Tommy and the puppet of Power Master Optimus. That was season 5. The re-airs that only had 20 original episodes that were rerun.
Right.
Season 5 is what you're talking about, Michael. G2.
Oh, no. Yeah. The G2 toy, the G2 cartoon was G1 cartoons with a border around it.
Right, but what I'm saying is Cosmic Cube. We'll talk about that next time. What I'm saying is that and again, take this with a grain of salt, but they do their research. According to TF Wiki, season 5 was Tommy Kennedy with Puppet Master Power Master Optimus Prime, and it was more than meets the eye.
Yeah.
The movie, the 5 days of the movie, like you said, Five Faces of Darkness, Surprise Party, Dark Awakening, Return of Optimus, and then Rebirth. And they listed here as season 5, so I don't know. I remember watching the Power Master Optimus stuff.
Yeah, I never saw those, to be honest.
I never saw it either. But it's not any new episodes.
No, it's not new episodes.
Right. And in the meantime, Japan gets all sorts of cool stuff,
Yeah.
Well,
they had several more years of Transformers after.
Well, they actually had six more years. I mean, they had Headmasters, Master Force, Victory Zone, Return of Convoy, and Operation Combination.
Yeah, so they were getting episodes all the way up through the 90s.
Yeah, so I mean,
I don't think we got anything until G2 came out in 91 or 92?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 91. And
yeah. And then Beast Wars wasn't until 95?
96.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, and we had a bit of a drought there.
Yeah, you think?
Well, I mean, when people say, Beast Wars save Transformers, it's like, well, in the U.S.
In Japan they were pretty consistent though.
The Japanese stuff, the only thing I like it for is finally being able to see a Blaster Soundwave fight.
But that was in
Headmasters.
Headmasters, yeah.
Yeah.
Which fans are currently dubbing anyway.
Yes. Well, no, yeah. There's been fan dubs of those for years. And there's like private in-jokes concerning the dubs because they call them by different names. It's like Soundwave was... No, I want to say
Blaster. And...
Sound Blaster was like Billy or something. And, hey, Billy! You know? why would they call it that? It was just so full of private in-jokes that, you know, if you watch them now, it's like, what? You know? And it's like, well, yeah, 20 years ago when they were dubbing it, they thought it was hilarious. And now nobody knows what the hell they're talking about. You got to read the wiki just to understand, well, why did they call him Billy? You know, or whatever they call it. I can't say exactly, but it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, I used to understand that, and gosh, it's been a long time.
I used to actually collect the Marvel G1 comics.
Yeah.
I had almost all of them.
Wow.
I think I was missing maybe 6 issues.
Okay.
Unfortunately, and then probably about 8 years ago, 9 years ago, I think I had to sell them all because I was broke, and I probably should just ask my parents for money so I could keep them, but I didn't. They're still sitting at the comic shop that I sold them to.
Wow.
I'd say a good 50% of them, because they haven't marked up so high in price that nobody will ever buy them again.
Yeah.
But I know they're mine based on things that were on the cover.
Yeah.
So
you didn't write your name on them, did they?
No, like, but I had a mark on the edge.
Oh, okay.
So I knew it was mine. Plus, I kind of go in there every now and again to watch it like a hawk to see if they ever drop in price. So I can be like, snipe.
Yeah.
But I'll probably pick them up in trades eventually. But no, I mean, I had almost all of them, like all the Marvel G.I. Joe crossovers with them, all the universe where they show all their bios and everything. Although the art wasn't really good in it from the beginning until...
God, it was art.
The art got better in the 70s, and then by then it was already deemed to end.
Well, yeah. Well, who was it? I was going to say, like, everyone says that Simon Furman, you know, came in and just resurrected it and made all the stories fantastic and epic. And yeah, I'll buy that. But as a package deal with Simon Furman came Andrew Wildman. And I have never liked Wildman's art. I mean, maybe it's blasphemous to say that as a Transformers fan who didn't like Wildman, but I don't like it. It's bad. And now Wildman actually came back to do, what do they call that? Regeneration?
Regeneration.
Yeah,
one, yeah.
It's picking up where
I still can't look at his art. I mean, you'd think that 20 years later, the art would have gotten better. He maybe as an artist, you know,
it looks like he never changed. It maybe looks exactly the same.
Maybe he does it on purpose. I don't know, but it's bad.
They added like pupils to the robot's eyes and made them look like humans.
Well, you can blame Bay for that, but no.
No, I'm saying they did that
always. Yeah, Wildman always had human faces. It Galvatron looked like a guy in a boxy cosplay outfit. I mean, God, is it ugly?
I definitely agree with you.
The art was just atrocious. And, you know, does it detract from the story? Some people say no, but I just can't get into it if I can't look at it.
Well, sometimes it took away from the story for me, depending on what was going on.
Yeah.
Or depending on what robot they showed the face of. Like, if they had a face plate, I was pretty much good. But if they had a real face or stuff like that, I was like, just shoot me. I don't want to see it. Like, especially if they're Decepticon, they had really bad faces. But I mean, I'm happy that they continued it, at least to give it a proper send off into the G2 comics. Which I haven't collected any of them since they've done the regeneration, but that's because I want to pick them up in trade.
Yeah.
When they're done with it. But, I wouldn't say it's overly successful, though. I think it's like one of those cult classic things that you either have to be into it or not, compared to the modern day.
Yeah, I guess. You know what I really liked? And this is coming from a guy who picked up Transformers collecting again in 1998. I really liked the Dreamwave comics. And they came out around that time period, because it's like, wow, they're actually doing G1 again. And they look really good. And, you know, there's a lot of artists that'll do really good art, like Milne or Guidi. But at the time, nobody else was doing art for like G1 art. And it was head and shoulders better than anything Wildman ever did.
Oh, definitely. I loved that series.
Yeah, I mean, I really liked it. But, you know, the stories just weren't there. The plot lines were just utter crap. But, I mean, again, it was there was a lot of art coming out. There were a lot of posters. I've got posters from the era that were like, what do I got? I've got Predaking fighting Superion. It's a really nice poster. It's really cool. I've got a couple. What else? I got a couple really nice ones, like a Decepticon spread with like Megatron and a bunch of people behind him or around him.
I really loved the art.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah, but I really like the art, but now, you know, you've got IDW, and their art is, it goes back and forth. Like I said, I have a few favorites, but. But the stories are always consistently good.
Yeah, I'm starting to notice though with the IDW stuff, and it is good. James Roberts and John Barber are amazing writers for these characters, but I'm noticing that Hasbro is having slightly more influence because of toy pack-ins.
Oh, yeah. It's like, who the hell is Crosscut? And why is Crosscut showing up 25 issues in? Who are you? I don't know. I'm Crosscut. Who are you? Well, I'm Swerve. Fuck you, you know?
I'm Swerve. Come to my bar.
It's like, the whole ship should know who this guy is. I mean, there's only... Yeah. 800 of them, you know. You think everyone knows? Yeah, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but
right. Let me just say, spoilers for anyone who hasn't read the IDW More Than Meets the Eye Robots in Disguise. But I find it extremely strange, and I still have no idea how the hell Rat Trap and Waspinator got into. This is why I'm waiting for the Dark Cybertron trade to come out, the two trades, because they're going to be in volume one, Dark Cybertron part one and part two.
Yeah.
So I can actually read the story from beginning to end, because issue by issue, Dark Cybertron is just confusing the hell out of me.
You know, I actually had to quit reading it because I didn't like it. I'm like, you know, this is where everything fucking breaks down. And now that I'm reading... You know, More Than Meets the Eye, the Dark Cybertron issues, I should say. It's like they changed artists, but the dialogue is the same. And it's like I can read the dialogue and imagine the art from when Milne was doing it.
Milne.
I met the guy. He didn't correct me when I called him Milne.
I don't know how to say his name.
I don't know. I call him Milne. But Milne, whatever. But I introduced him to my boy. I said, you know who this is, Aiden? You know, no. Oh, man, this is like the best Transformers artist ever. And he's like, hee-hee-hee. You know, we bought a couple prints and had him sign it. It was nice. But
maybe because of Dark Cybertron,
maybe
the regular artists on the two titles are off preparing for the Dawn of the Autobots, which is the next arc after Dark Cybertron. And I will say that, yeah, you're right. The art, it's good, but the problem with Dark Cybertron, for me anyway, too many artists every single issue. You do not need three or four. There was one issue that was There was five artists on it.
I like that when they switch storylines, they switch art. It's not even an artist. It's art style. One of them's painted. One of them's very thin lines, muted colors. You know, one of them is big, thick, jagged lines, almost like a sketch. I mean, I like that. I mean, it's very easy to tell where you're at, you know, especially when they're juggling five or six storylines.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous how much they're juggling, and they're juggling it across three or four different titles.
No, it's just the two.
Well, it's the two, and then they have the Dark Cybertron. It started off with the Dark Cybertron issue.
Yeah,
and I
well,
think it ends with the Dark Cybertron issue, but you get
it
the,
does,
you get the point.
But it's, yeah, I mean, it does start off with its own issue, and then it does end with its own issue, but the genesis is the reason why is because they want people to be able to, it's kind of like when people ask, what's a good point to jump onto a book? Oh. This is a point where you can jump on. That's what IDW is trying to do with that first issue and final issue, is to kind of put a capital letter and then a period at the end of the other one. So it's kind of like, hey, jump on here.
I'll buy that, but I think you said it. I'm just not enjoying it.
My problem is because there's so much going on, I need to be able to sit down and read the story as a whole, not issue by issue, because that's my... It took me, I don't know, maybe a week after I bought a couple of the issues to even sit down and read it, because I was just like, okay, I'll read it. It's not that I think the story is bad. I don't. I just need to... It's just one of those things where I just have to read it as one whole thing.
Yeah. There's the good points, there's bad points, but what it comes down to is it's still 1,000 times better than Wildman.
Yeah, exactly.
That's terrible. I hate to beat a dead horse, and there's a lot of people that are going to be like, fuck you, Wilson! It's like, Wildman is the best thing that ever happened to G1! It's like, I'm sorry, man, I didn't even read the comics when I was little. I got a trade paperback. Sometime in, I want to say the late 90s or the early zeros, I guess you'd call it, but whatever that time frame was. But I got a trade paperback, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to get into the G1. I think it was, I can't even remember what the storyline is now. I got it packed away, but I couldn't even enjoy it because the art was just so distractingly bad.
Yeah.
I'm like, why does he look like, you know, some guy in a really bad Transformer suit. Really, I mean, like really bad. Like,
hey, look, 70s, it's Agent...
70s Star Wars knockoff bad, you know? Like is that supposed to be a guy dressed up as C-3PO? Yeah, but they had no budget, you know? Okay.
Oh, my God. I'm just now picturing a 70s Sector 7 Agent Simmons. Oh, crap.
It's Agent Sector 7 undies.
No, jeez, yeah.
Oh, that was an image I didn't need in my head, thanks.
I remember the, kind of switching back to the toys for a minute, I remember having so many of the different toys, and there were so many of the ones that I wanted that I never got, like...
Oh.
I always wanted a Soundwave, and I had Blaster, my friend had Soundwave, my friend would never let me play with the stupid thing.
Oh, no, he's too fragile, don't touch my sound.
Yeah, I had a Soundwave, he used to just topple over.
Yeah, no, he'd break at the drop of a hat. And Shockwave? Oh, don't touch my Shockwave, man. Constructicons, I still have the Constructicons I had when I was little. My hook is still broken. Because, you know, a hook breaks at the drop of a hat. It's like I moved him funny and he broke off at the knee. And, you know, when you're little, it's like, yeah, that's all right. He still transforms into Devastator. I'm cool.
Yeah.
But, oh, man, I tell you.
Devastator. Oh, my God. They made that poor toy in three different damn colors.
Yeah,
oh.
I've got him.
I know you've got them. You've got all three of them. You got a green one, a yellow one, and an orange one.
Well, you know what? I'm missing an orange Scrapper. And I saw them online once for like $50. And I'm like, I'm not paying $50 for Scrapper.
No, it's not worth it.
Nah, but right now he's got a knockoff Scrapper on his for an arm. It's kind of sad. He's kind of sad looking. But yeah, I didn't get started collecting the G2 stuff until well after I had almost completed my G1 collection.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got G1 up until when I got most of the headmasters, most of the target masters, and then I peter out right about at Pretenders.
Yeah.
Because I just couldn't get into Pretenders as a toy line.
They're already in disguise. What the hell do they need with beast covers?
It's like it's a robot disguised as a human. I'm like, is he a 50-foot human? Because that's not a disguise. is he a 6-foot tall human? Because that's kind of a shitty robot. You know? Yeah. It's like, don't tell me Grimlock is inside that human body, because he's really tiny now.
Oh my god, Grimlock and the Dinobots.
He might have been my favorite Transformer back in the season 2 days.
Yeah.
Give me all the Grimlock you can give me.
That's what she said.
That's what I named him off.
Oh, well, Steve just swooped in there with that one, didn't he?
please go on.
I just don't. Now, correct. I could be wrong. Did the toys for the Dinobots come before they appeared in the show?
I don't know. I know that there were Diaclone versions.
Yeah, see, exactly. I've always seen Swoop, the toy for Swoop, as Red. And I love Swoop, don't get me wrong. I love his personality. I think he's a really cool character and everything else. I'm one of those people that if it's not show accurate, I just don't want it. It has to be show accurate. And that was one of my big pet peeves with Devastator. It was like, I remember at one point, I had all the Constructicons for the original Devastator, the green Devastator. And then somehow I lost a Mixmaster or something. I lost one of the arms or the legs or something or other. And somebody brought one over to me, and it was the yellow. And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not having a multicolored Devastator.
That's how he started out, though. You know, I had a point, and I lost it. Sorry, that happens occasionally. But, Nope, sorry, not coming to me. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, the other thing that was so great about the G1 toys was the packaging.
Yeah.
The packaging was so great. That artwork on the back. Oh, man. And getting that decoder for the stats.
The tech specs.
That was so, the tech specs. Tech. That was so
cool. Yeah. I like those. I would always find like problems with them, and then, you know, years and years later, you hear Bud Budiansky talk about when he actually wrote them, and he's like, oh yeah, I screwed that up, you know. It's like sorry about that. Oh yeah, I totally gave, you know, Starscream's stats to Thundercracker. That's why he's higher than Starscream. It doesn't make any sense, but yeah, I totally goofed. My bad. It's like, man.
Yeah, I was there hearing him say that at TFCon.
Yeah, you know, people, this is terrible. And I feel the same way about, like, Dan Gilvezan. But, you know, they show up and they tell the same stories at all the cons. You know, and it's like, you'll see, like, a video online. It will be like, oh, look, Dan Gilvezan was at TFCon. I'm going to see what he has to say. And it's like, that's the exact same story he told at BotCon. You know, when I saw him, Bud Budiansky, he's got a PowerPoint presentation set up.
Yep.
So of course he's got the same story every time. And it's like, man,
you were made of Cerner's stuff.
Exactly. And you just want to
just next time.
You wanna sit down with these guys one on one and say, hey, you know what? Tell me a story you haven't told anybody else, because I've heard all the stories already. Like we got. When I say we, I know we all three of us have read it, but we got Dan Gilvezan's book. Was it Bumblebee and Me?
Yeah.
And I tell you, 75% of that book is stories I've already heard.
Yeah, but it's still kind of cool. What amazes me about that book is how he reads it because it's basically Bumblebee reading his story.
Yeah.
It's reading, you know, and
the audio version's cool because he's reading
it. That's, yeah,
but
yeah.
If you're just reading the book, it's like, God, I've already heard this story.
No, I got the audio version. I didn't even, you know, not that I don't want to not support Dan Gilbazan, but I got the audiobook. I had to get the audiobook.
Yeah. No, that's
the only way to go.
It's really cool. It is. I tell you, to hear him read. But again, I've already heard most of the stories. It's like, yeah, I've heard this, and he's, you know, and he's telling the stories about, oh, here we all are in the G1 booth, and we're all, you know, ribbing on each other, and the same stories every time.
Well, he had a couple of decent stories on the TFG1 interview we did with him. Right, Terry?
Yeah, exactly.
Can I just call you Terry?
Because it's really confusing. I'm not sure I'll remember your name. It's like, it's not that hard. It's Mike and Michael. I'm the Michael. Unless you'd rather call me Mike. I really don't care. But
I just
call
you Terry.
And again, just call me Terry. Like Terry the Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but when we were having this conversation with him, that's like I said, it'd be nice to just sit down and kind of corner these guys and guide them to where you want them to be, which you can do during an interview.
Yes.
You know, where it's like, yeah, I've heard that story before, but tell me about this, you know, or, you know, what is our standard question for interviews? Is like, has there ever been something that you were asked to read that you just said, no, I'm not going to read that?
Yeah.
Because those are the best stories. Those are really funny. Or what's the other one? It's like if you've ever been asked to read something that you just said, no, I'm not going to read. Or, God, what's the other one that we always get? It's been a couple of years since I've done an interview.
Fan interaction.
Oh, yeah. Those are good, too.
Yeah.
So you have a crazy fan. What did they ask you to do? Those are good.
Well, they had me bend over and touch my toes. And
I know. It's like, I'm not going to sign your butt. I don't know where it's been. Yeah.
Actually, I think Dara Strong signed some body part. I don't remember which one it was, but
the left side or the right side?
I don't doubt it.
Man.
I'm on a roll tonight.
Yes, you are.
I got the weird fanboy thing for Tara, I tell you. But did I tell you I met her again at the last year's Comic-Con?
No.
Oh, I was there with my nephew, Zach and Dill. And mm-hmm. Dill was named after Tara's character in Rugrat.
Yeah, Baby Dill.
He was Baby Dill. And we walked up to her, and I told her, you did Baby Dill and Rugrats, didn't you? And she's like, yeah, I did. And I said, well, you know, my nephew here was named after you. And she's like, no way. And she signed everything. She's like, here, take it, you know. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. We got to talk to her for a few minutes. It was like no line or anything.
But yeah, overall, G1, does it hold up today? Probably not, but it's not meant to. It's meant to be what it was 30 years ago. Mm. You know, and sure, we'll rip the cartoon to shreds in the TFG2 podcast, and we'll analyze it and whatever else and have fun doing it, but it's still, I can still go back and watch those episodes. I mean, hell, what is it, next month, I think? The Hub is going back and re-airing them again.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
The Hub cycle is now kind of weird. Hub cycle, the Hub network cycle for cartoons just had their Running Gem. They had Transformers Animated and Prime Beast Hunters all running back to back to back. They had Batman Beyond, Superman the Animated Series running back to back of each other.
Wow.
And coming up in March, I noticed on my DVR that More Than Meets the Eye is coming back to air again. And that's great that Hasbro has that network that they can actually still show people.
Well, they got all the stuff that they have the rights to.
Yep, exactly.
You know, it's like was it, way back in the day when Cartoon Network first aired. And it was like, you know, they had the rights to all this old Hanna-Barbera stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, gosh, I could watch this all day, you know.
Back when Cartoon Network had substance.
Yeah, that's a podcast for another day.
Yeah.
But no, I remember going to the stores and seeing, like, you know, Warpath on the shelf and Blitzwing and Astro Train. I remember as soon as I saw Astro Train on the shelf, I was like, Mom, I need six of these guys. I don't know why. I always loved Astro Train.
Really?
Yeah. He was funny. The one. He was, well. Blitzwing was a little, at least for me as a kid, he was a little challenging. And then later in life, the animated version of him almost took my finger off. So I'm not really a fan.
I remember that.
I'm not really a fan of Blitzwing.
Rome, I ate my finger.
That's right.
Johnny. But no, I really liked Blitzwing. You know, but what bothered me about Astro Train was that he was not the same color as he was in the catalog. Astro Train ended up being black and purple. But in the catalog, I want to say he was white and the Japanese colors.
Black and white, oh, yeah.
Wow. You know, and it's funny, well, too, because I've got one here. They had a commemorative reissue.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's white and black with purple Decepticon insignias.
He was purple in the show, so the toy reflected that.
But yeah, well, I guess, yeah. But I mean, I was like, oh man, he's not even the right color. Come on.
Any other thoughts on G1? Anything else we want to bring up?
Wow, you know, it seems like we've had all these conversations before, because we actually, way back in the day, you know, critiqued each and every episode. And that would have been 5-6 years ago?
6 years ago, which we will do again. So, in about 6 months.
Well, I was gonna say, now that Prime is done, we should totally do the three seasons of Prime. They closed, in my opinion, Prime closed really strongly. I really liked the Beast Hunter storyline.
I agree. Season.
My jaw's on the floor, ladies and gentlemen. Pecan Court Michael just admitted he enjoyed Transformers Prime. Wow.
No, and again, I think the last podcast we had together, it was like, well, you know, season one was a huge letdown, because they had the storyline that looked like it was going to go somewhere and it didn't. And then they had Wheeljack, who's clearly not Wheeljack. And then they had season two that had a lot of problems, in my opinion. And it just didn't – all these storylines they were bringing up weren't going anywhere. And I had serious issues with the work. And I even criticized Stephen Melching in an open forum. And he called me out on it. Don't be a dick, man. Well, he didn't say that in so many words, but yeah, that's about what it came out as. Season.
Where did this happen?
Oh, it was on Facebook.
Oh, and wow. I think you'll have to go back and find that.
I want to say David Wise posted something.
Wow.
And I responded to it, and I said, you know, I really just don't like what they're doing with the series, you know, with the storyline. You know, maybe it'll get better. I don't know, but I'm just not seeing it right now. I've seen it as a lot of derivative stuff happening. You know, it's like, why is, you know, I like Unicron, but, you know, do we really have to go there again? You know, that type of thing. And Stephen Melching responded and said, hey, I'm right here, Michael. Chastise. And I responded, you know, apologetically, you know, yeah, sorry, Stephen, you know. But, you know, come on, seriously, we're not looking to see, as Transformer fans, we're not looking to see the same thing over again. We want to see something different, do something that hasn't been done before. You know, when Minicons came out, it was like, oh man, this is too different. Everybody loves Minicons, you know, and now it's like, do something different. Season three comes out, dragons.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, my first complaint was, you know, we've already done Beast Wars. We've got lizards that stand up. How do you transform? I stand up. You know, we've done that before.
I put my big boy pants on.
Exactly. I just stand up and pull up my pants. Look, my claws turn into hands. Look, they flip like this. And it's like, my feet are still dragon feet, but that's cool because I'm a dragon. You know, and at first I was like, oh man, they're going the cheap route. But the way the story came across, the way they handled it in the cartoon or the TV show, the quality of the figures. I have all the dragons.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I went and got them, and my boys play with them nonstop. They love them. I open them, let them play with them. So I was a big opponent of the series early on because I just didn't like what they were doing. I didn't like the choices they made. I didn't like the storyline directions they were going in. I didn't like the derivative content that they were coming out with. But season 3 really turned around for the better.
Yeah. We'll talk about that a little bit more in depth in a future ATTF.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts for G1, guys?
G1 was a huge part of my life when I was little. When I got old enough to realize that my childhood was kind of crappy and I wanted to relive it a little bit, and I had a lot of disposable income and easy access to eBay, it very quickly became a big part of my life again.
Yeah. What about you, Steve? Final thoughts?
Transformers Generation 1 for me, although it may not be the best Transformers series, you can't argue that without it, you wouldn't have everything that's come since. And it's also given us a chance to see some pretty iconic characters and voices and concepts kind of come through that will shine through in later series of the Transformers mythos and franchises.
Yep. Same here. I still love it to this day. I love seeing all the old toys, as bad as some of them might be, but I still love seeing all of them. The voice cast for G1 really made that show. The animation sometimes wasn't so great.
Not as bad as He-Man, but...
Well, that's an argument for another day, too. He-Man mainly used stock for the most part, so...
Chicken? Stock?
Yes, I got it. Thank you. Alright. I still love G1. I don't care what anyone says. I do still have my problems with it, but I can still turn that off and go and watch it for the enjoyment that, you know, that I had as a kid for it. It's interesting to see how IDW is shaping the G1 characters in the two ongoings that they're doing now. Because I was really worried about reading the More Than Meets the Eye title, because I'm like, oh, there's all these new characters. Oh, great. Oh. I'm like, oh, boy. But they are really, really good. And
that
we will
title
be doing
is so well written.
Yes, we will be doing three separate comic episodes for this 30th anniversary celebration. We will be doing one on the Marvel Comics, the Dreamwave, and the IDW.
Oh, let me do one.
What?
I said, let me do one.
Wow. Okay, Steve, I think you can close the show out now.
Wow. Alrighty. Thank you for listening to All Things Transformers version 2.0, and catch us next time when we'll cover Transformers Generation 2.
I'll be here.
Where else are you going to go?
Nobody else will have me, seriously.
The taint of Primus?
No, you got to use
taint
your real
balls,
voice.
And it taint his ass.
The taint of Primus.
I think that's right next to Kaon.
It hangs really low.
Seriously, no one else will have me? Come on, man.
Dangerously into the smelting pool. What? The peanut gallery doesn't care for that joke.
Oh.
Waspinator likes it.
Waspinator needs to smelt away.
I will kill him here and there. I will make him rampages bare.
Where's the little pleasure, fleshy bat?
Oh, God.
Oh, that's horrible.
10 minutes of brand new outtakes.
What do you think they do after?
What do you think they do after?
Oh my God.
Oh, that's perfect.
And well, now we sure know what we're not at the end of Transformers Cybertron.
You wondered what I did alone in my bathtub for so long.
Bayformer porn.
Bayformer porn. God.
He's splooged all over the franchise.
I don't know. We're going to.
Master says that's bad comedy.
That's bad sodomy.
Master
says that's bad sodomy.
Lubrication Starscream. That's bad sodomy.
Starscream.
This is bad sodomy. Oh,
I don't think you can do that. Or, what's his name? Galvatron.
Yeah,
it is my destiny!
Yeah, he can do Crazy Welker Galvatron. Crazy.
Yeah, but not the,
not the Nimoy.
Who does Nimoy?
Yep.
Well, it sure as hell wasn't me.
What does the Nimoy say? Hack you!
Who does Nimoy?
What's the little does?
Oh,
it
God.
Is my destiny!
Oh.
We should probably record. Or we could sit here and do this all night.
Yeah.
Yeah.